Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Happy Saturday, and thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. I hope you're having a fantastic day. We are going to talk about the housing market. It's a exploding market. There's a lot that we need to talk about. It's not just the market. It's how to handle, you know, purchases, how to sell, you know, how you sell your house in today's market, how you find a house, how you buy a house, how you make offers. All that stuff really, really makes a difference. So I've talked to several real estate agents. I've done some investigation, trying to come up with, you know, some good information that I think is really going to be helpful as you look at this. Before we talk about the housing market, though, I want to talk about the mortgage interest rates and what's going on with mortgage interest rates in a little more depth than I have in the last few weeks. First, you have to understand mortgage interest rates come out of the mortgage-backed security bond market. That's where rates come out of. Right now, we're watching the 2.5% coupon in that market, and it changes on a minute-to-minute basis at times. I mean, it can be very, very volatile. So we can see that market. And as that market goes up, as the mortgage-backed securities increase, mortgage rates decrease. As the bond market goes down, mortgage rates go up. And it's been pretty, you know, pretty steady the last few weeks. But part of it is, and part of the reason I want to talk about this is because of the news that we keep hearing out there. You know, the Feds last month left the federal fund rate unchanged. And that's one that can affect the mortgage-backed securities. It doesn't affect it directly. It affects it over time. And you have to understand why. The federal fund rate is an overnight rate. Member banks loan each other money. And so it's a very short term. It's an overnight rate compared to a 30-year mortgage, which is a long-term rate. So you can see those are definitely different ends of the spectrum. And so that what's happening at this real short end doesn't directly affect what's happening on the long end. And that's really the 10-year treasuries. That's where you're going to see that affected. The mortgage-backed securities, that market is actually where they're trading mortgages. So when the mortgages are done and they're closed and they're packaged together and you hear that they're sold to Freddie and Fannie, they take those mortgages, Freddie and Fannie, and then they sell them on the market to investors. And when they sell them on the market to investors, they sell them in the mortgage-backed security bond market. So that's where that money's going. And that's where what the Feds do, even though it's short-term, can affect it, but it affects it way down the road. One of the things the Feds have been doing and look like they're going to continue to do is they've been spending approximately at least $120 billion a month buying mortgage-backed securities. So they're buying these mortgage-backed securities, which means they're keeping the rates down because they're the ones buying the security. And that's why we're seeing rates stay at these very low levels. You know, I've talked before, rates, they may not be at the lowest level we've seen, but they are darn close to the lowest levels we've seen. These are still near record lows. It still makes sense for many people to refinance. It definitely is a great time to buy a house if you can get the offer, which is what we're going to talk about. If you can get an offer accepted, find a house, get an offer accepted, that's what we're going to talk about. But the mortgage rates matter in this, and they are still very low. It's actually what's helping the housing market stay so hot is rates are still very, very good. So don't listen to what you hear on the news and them talking and them saying, you know, this and that, and the housing market is bad or rates are really high. Rates are not. Rates are still at record lows. I don't know how you feel, but I have found that most of the time what I hear on the radio news, really what I hear in media and the news, those type of things, you can't actually believe them because they're trying to create fear, and they want you to watch, they want you to listen. So they create fear. I think one of the perfect examples, my wife loves weather. So we've kind of got off of watching any of the news channels. I can't deal with it. So we were watching the Weather Channel, and the Weather Channel, all they talk about is somewhere in the country, it's bad. It's hail, it's hurricanes, it's tornadoes. I have to turn it off too, because that's all they want to talk about is a negative. I'm sure that most people, that's what they want to hear. They want to hear how bad it is. They tell you how many millions of people are under the threats of these terrible weather storms. And then, you know, the next day, maybe something happened, maybe something didn't. But anyway, that's kind of the way it is in all of the media. So you just have to be real careful what you listen to. But I can tell you the rates are still very good. Jobless claims came in very well the last couple weeks. They went up a little, you know, what they were reported. They get revised, and the revisions have come up. So we're still way off on our jobless numbers, but it's much better than it was a year ago. And this is another piece we need to watch. What we're looking at right now, and talking about, is because what you have to understand is the a year ago, we were in the midst of the pandemic. So the numbers that anybody's going to try to year over year numbers are going to be really, really swayed. You can't really count on those numbers. So I would kind of listen to them with a grain of salt, because it was such a weird time last year at this time through July, really, maybe even into August. So through the next 3 months, I would just kind of listen to if you listen to the media, just kind of with a grain of salt, what they say about what rates are going to do, things like that, because it was during that time. So employment numbers were all messed up. So it's going to look a lot better than it did a year ago. Those things are going to look a lot better. So I would just caution you to know that that's just, you know, it's going to be that way because of the pandemic that we were dealing with last year. Now, on home sales and on our market, one of the first things that I thought I'd talk about is the pending home sales. And pending home sales throughout the country, there is a huge amount. There's 111,300 homes that are pending the closing. So they've been sold and they're pending. That's a huge amount. It's up 1.9% month over month. So it's higher month over month. But what's keeping it down, we've been at higher levels. What's keeping it down is there's no inventory for homes. That's what our problem really is. We don't have inventory of homes. If you talk to any real estate agent or you go looking for homes, there's just not inventory. I notice that I'll sometimes go and for you know, different reasons, I'll look at what homes are out there, what's for sale, you know, putting pieces together, looking at things for a customer or whatever. And I will find that a lot of times I'll look and it, you know, they show all these homes for sale and you go look at the homes and they're either already pending or they're already sold. So the inventory is very, very short. And a short inventory, what it has created is a seller's market. I won't say it's unlike anything we've ever seen, because I think I saw this maybe 30 years ago, maybe a little more than that. It was in the 90s, I'm sorry, the 80s. Where they were, you know, offers were being dated and timed on the end. So back then it was extremely busy also. So this isn't unprecedented, but it is an unusual situation. And it is definitely a seller's market. So being a seller's market, you just really have to understand, you know, what it is that you need to do and how you need, if you're going to go buy a house, what, you know, how do you win that bid? It starts with getting prepared for the bid. The number one thing to get prepared, or one of the top things to get prepared for the bid, is getting pre-approved. That is critical and vital to your winning the bid. So how do you do that? You call me and you, or email me or, you know, go online. You can call me at 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600, or hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Again, I'm Rick Ripma, your hardworking mortgage guy at Advisors Mortgage Group. If you call me, you get with me, we will talk about it and we will go over it. and we will figure out how to best put your pre-approval letter together. We're going to talk more about pre-approval in the housing market after the break.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it very much. We're talking about the housing market, what's going on in Indianapolis and the surrounding counties, and really all of Indiana, and pretty much all over the country right now. I've talked to agents in California, I've talked to agents in Colorado, Texas, Florida, New Jersey, New York, Michigan, and everybody says the same thing. Our market is on fire. You know, we just don't have the inventory. There's just not houses out there. So knowing there's not the inventory, we were talking about what is one of the first things you need to do, and it's about getting pre-approved. You need to be pre-approved. It's always important. It is even more important in today's market, and not all pre-approval letters are the same. If you're selling a house, you want to make sure that buyer and all the buyers and all the offers you get have a pre-approval letter, and you want to look at that pre-approval letter, and you want qualified as possible. So when I do a pre-approval letter, I put as much information on that pre-approval letter to communicate that my borrower is a solid borrower, so that they know this is a good offer. You want to take the risk to a seller is the contingencies. And the contingencies, when you're buying a house and you're not paying cash, one of the contingencies is the mortgage. An inspection would be another contingency, and we should talk about that here in a minute. So you've got your mortgage contingency, you've got your inspection contingency, and all the every contingency that you can eliminate is going to be important for making them feel more comfortable to take your offer. All right. Especially if you're fighting a cash offer, or you're fighting three or four. I've seen some that were, 14 or 15 offers on a house. So you want to make yours look better. So the pre-approval, it is critical that we do it and put as much information there to let people know that the mortgage is as approved as it can possibly be without having the appraisal if necessary, and without, being ready to close and knowing that, everything is what it was when we verified it. So that is extremely important. The inspection, the inspection contingency is another one. And there are lots of people that are waiving their inspection contingency. And I understand trying to get the offer that somebody does that. You walk through a house, you look at it, you feel like, man, this house is in perfect shape. I feel comfortable doing this without the inspection. As a lender, we don't require an inspection, so it's not something that you have to have. But I would encourage you to not waive that inspection contingency. Because it is amazing how many times I have had somebody who tells me, oh, the inspection, it'll be no problem. The house is perfect. The house is beautiful. They have the inspection. I get a call. Hey, we got real problems on this house. We got to work this out. So I would highly recommend that you do the inspection. One of the things that I've seen is that people, when they do an inspection or when they do make their offer and they have the inspection in there, they let them know they're not going to ask for the piddly stuff to be done. If it's less than $1,000, they're not going to ask that. They're not going to ask the seller to do that. So it takes away the little stuff, because really what you want in this market, especially if you want to get an offer accepted, you want to make that inspection contingency as easy as possible on the seller. So, if the house is falling down and you just can't tell, you don't want to buy the house. But if there's, a board that needs to be replaced and it's, $100, you aren't going to make them do it. You'll take care of it yourself. And that does help quite a bit. So that would be the other piece of you do your pre-qual or pre-approval letter. You want that pre-approval letter. You want that pre-approval letter as strong as you possibly can get it. And That's extremely important. And then you try to make any other contingency as easy to meet as possible, but you still need to protect yourself. Also in this market, getting off a little bit, is, you know, patience is the key to buying a home this year. It really is. It can be very big struggle for people. I get calls. I just did a pre-approval yesterday, and you know, they were kind of frustrated. They said, you know, we've been out looking, we look, but we just can't find anything. There's just nothing on the market. And first, I'd encourage anybody, if you're going to go looking, get the pre-approval letter first, because if you do find a house, you need to make an offer right away, and you need that pre-approval letter done and ready to go in case there's some issues, so we can make sure we do give you the very best pre-approval letter possible. But you need to be patient. So as you know, the houses, you know, they go fast. You know, a lot of people, when they're selling their house, I'm just going to give a fake timeline, but to kind of give you an idea. The real estate agent says, okay, they go in, they list, they say, okay, we're going to list your house on a Monday. But they say, you know what, we're not going to list it on Monday. We're going to put it on the service on Thursday. We're going to allow people to come in on Saturday and Sunday. And we're going to tell them that everybody has to have their offer in by Monday at 5:00. And that's how it's being done. In that situation, you may have people coming to view your home, showings constantly throughout those 2 days. Some people will only do it for one day. It can be constant, and it can be one after another because you don't want two at a time. It can be, it is incredible how that works. And then 5:00 on Monday, you have all the offers. And that's when they sit down and they look at those offers and they go through them and they decide who they're going to sell the house to. So it's extremely important that, again, you have your pre-approval, you have as many contingencies, but that you're patient, because you may go through that, unfortunately, 3, 4, 5 times. I've had people who've made offers who've not been the first choice that many times. But if most people have kept up with it, and eventually they do get the offer accepted, they're the ones who get chosen, and then it's, you know, downhill from there. Everything works out, and they get in their house. But it is important that you really do have the patience. So because of that, and it's many homeowners are facing it this year, it's incredible, because it's such a seller's market. And I was reading something that says it's the ultimate seller's market. And in fact, the National Association of Realtors, NAR for short, notes that homes are getting an average of 4.8 offers per sale. So when you have a house, when you go look at a house, on average, they're going to get 4.8 offers on that house, which is, again, why it's so important that you have a pre-approval. And that number is rising. So that's just the number, and that's nationally. In Indianapolis, I believe it's even higher than that. I just haven't gotten an exact number from anybody, but it sounds like it is. And the reason this is happening is because there's so few houses. Our inventory is so low. And the low inventory in housing, you know, it's not, that's happened in the past. Like I said, we've seen it before. Danielle Hale is the chief economist at Realtor.com, and this is what she said. The housing market is still relatively undersupplied. That is a really easy way to say that. I mean, it's much worse than relatively undersupplied, and buyers can't buy what's not for sale, of course. So relative to what we saw in 2017 to 2019, March 2021, April 2021 are still roughly 117,000 new listings lower. So we have 117,000 less listings in the U.S. Added to the pre-existing early year gap of more than 200,000 fresh new listings that would typically have come to the market in January and February and didn't. So despite the weak gain, which they gained a little bit from a year ago, again, we have to remember pandemic, we don't want to really take too much from a year ago. We're 19% below the new seller activity that we saw in the same week of 2019, which is a much better time to go back to because it's the year before the pandemic. So it is extremely important that you understand that you know that market is just, I mean, it's just crazy. So how do you get your offer accepted? You know, how do you make yours stand out? There's so many things that people are doing you really have to work with your real estate agent. You have to have a top-notch, in this market, it really helps to have a very experienced, top-notch agent who knows how to make that offer, what to write in it, you know, what other pieces you need. Like, I know, and I had a buyer, and one of the things they did is they put together a letter, and I know they're not unique. They put together a letter for the seller and just kind of let them know who they were, why they loved the house, how they were going to take care of the house. And they did get it. They did get their offer accepted. Now, they didn't get their first one accepted because it's not going to work on everybody. And if you're way lower than everybody else, that's not going to work. But if it's tight, if let's say you're all very close and you have a letter and it, you know, it really helps the seller know who you are. That just gives you the upper hand. So that's one of those pieces you can do is put something like that together, along with a very strong pre-approval letter, along with as few contingencies as possible, so that there's as little issues going. A lot of times you go up against cash offers, and you know I hear people say, well, you can't beat a cash offer. Well, you can beat a cash offer. Cash offers can be beat by being a little higher in price. You have to pay a little more to get them accept the contingency on the mortgage. But if the contingency on the mortgage seems like it's really not there because we've already done our due diligence and we've made sure you're as approvable as possible, barring, you know, something just bizarre happening, you're going to close on the home, the mortgage is going to be approved. Well, that can go a long way. So you might have to pay a little more, but it'll help you win the bid. Another thing I have available is if you're looking at doing that, we can run a report for you that kind of shows you how quickly in this environment with the appreciation, how quickly you make up the extra that you paid. Now, one of the things that will happen or can happen if you pay more for the house and it doesn't appraise at what you paid, you may have to bring a little more money than you were hoping to closing. You may not, but you may. Or you may, and if you're putting 20% down and that's all you had, you may end up with 15% down, and even though you brought 20, but you had to pay extra over what the appraisal was. But again, I can show you how that actually can work out with the way homes are appreciating. I have a whole report that we can put together on any individual house so you can see how that would work. So those are all the things. Those are some of the things that you got to do and you got to look at. And really the best thing is having a very, very strong real estate agent who knows what they're doing, who's connected in the industry and who can make your offer look the best possible. And if you need an agent, if you don't have an agent or you'd like to talk, maybe you have one, but you want to talk to somebody else. I have top agents I work with. I've been in this business for a long time. I know a tremendous amount of agents, and I know who the top people are. And if you're in that market and you would like to talk to a really strong agent, again, just give me a call, 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600. Or you can go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Again, it's Rick Ritma, your hardworking mortgage guy with Advisors Mortgage Group. So we've talked about the patience that you have to have. So just know that you're just going to have the patience because there's such a lack of inventory and it's very, very difficult to find a home. Part of the reason we have such a lack of inventory is that this number is incredible. So between 2000 and 2009, we built in the U.S., 27.1 million homes. Between 1990 and 1999, those 10 years, we built 26.7 million homes. Between 1980 and 1989, we built 25.2 million homes. And between 1970 and 1979, we built 25.8 million homes. So you take that number, it's over 100 million homes built in those 40 years. Okay, so it averaged, well, I mean, each number is over 25 million. And from 2010 to 2019, there were only 5.8 million homes built. That's part of the issue with our market right now, and you just have to understand it. There aren't homes out there. The builders, I mean, they built 20 million homes less in those 10 years. As you know, the market fell apart. The builders went away. They didn't have as much in inventory. They weren't selling as much. They weren't building. So we're 20 million short in homes available that would have been out there that were built the 4 decades before, but they weren't built that last decade. And that makes a huge difference in what's available and why it's so hard now to find a home. It's still possible. I don't want to discourage you and think, gee, I'll never find a home, but you certainly can find a home. I had 4 pre-approvals yesterday. So it does happen. It happens enough that you're going to see it. And if you're out there and looking, you can certainly find a home. You just have to, as I said, you have to be patient. The last thing I want to talk about today on this is don't be fooled by the remarkable real estate headlines, as I've kind of talked about before. You know, don't be impressed by headlines reporting year-over-year housing numbers for the next several months. March, April, May, June, July, and even a little bit of August, the data will most likely show eye-popping year increases. We know they're going to show huge increases. Why? Because last year we had the pandemic and the numbers were so low. So while the year-over-year jumps will continue to be striking, you shouldn't take those numbers. You should take them with a grain of salt, really, just a grain of salt. As the situation highlights a short-term quirk in our reporting of that data. So the data, you know, it's just a short-term quirk. Don't rely on that. Don't worry about what those numbers are. Don't go, oh my gosh, look at how many homes. It's being compared to bad numbers, in my opinion. Essentially, the increase will reflect a combination of two things: sharply lower housing numbers during last year's virus-related market collapse and the subsequent strong rebound. This will result in what appears to be unbelievable growth. And there's one thing I know about our media. They will act like we've got this huge growth this last year over year. Don't buy into it. Because it's short term, it's based off of what, you know, we went through last year. Along with that, when it's over, I think there's a high likelihood we're going to be in a recession, because I think these numbers are going to be eye popping. They're going to be huge. But then when it got back to normal last year, our numbers aren't going to be so good and our economy really isn't going to be back. And I think we're going to see recession again, you know, but who knows? It's certainly something that could happen, which is why I think rates are going to stay at remarkably low levels through the rest of this year and probably into mid to late next year. If you have any questions on mortgages, you need a real estate agent, or just, you know, want to talk, give me a call, 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600. It's Rick Ripma, your hardworking mortgage guide, Advisors Mortgage Group. You can go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it very much. You have a great weekend.